Yesterday, someone came over to me, told me that he was in a car accident recently. Apparently, the other driver that he was in an accident with was also a religious Jew. I think it was a situation where the other driver was texting. It was a situation where it was clearly the fault of the other driver, and this guy almost got killed. I mean, the airbag deployed, he was beaten up and bruised pretty badly. Baruch Hashem, he's okay. He bench gomel, and you know, he's back to his regular schedule. But in the litigious society that we live, when something like that happens, after you are done thanking Hashem, all of your lawyer friends will come over to you and tell you, you need to sue. This is something that you got to take. You deserve to be compensated for. So you need to sue. So he asked the Shaila, is he allowed to sue this from person, knowing full well that she's not going to pay a penny out of pocket? Who's going to pay all the money? The insurance company. So what's the issue? Why yes sue, why not sue? Why would you be allowed to? Why would you not be allowed to? Why would you not be allowed to? What's the issue? So there is a halacha that you're not allowed to litigate in a secular court, in a non-Jewish court. Two Jews that have a din with each other, it needs to be a din Torah. It cannot go to a secular court. This also made the news recently. I'm sure you've heard, unless you are very admirably nowhere near the internet. I'm sure you've heard that that El Al had some issues last Shabbos, and there's a group of passengers who ended up in Athens for Shabbos. Yeah, you've heard. Really, you didn't hear? I don't believe you. So the group has filed a lawsuit for, I don't know, whatever it is, $2.5 million against El Al. So someone sent me the question, is this permissible? Are they allowed to sue? El Al is a Jewish company. These are Jewish people. Are they allowed to sue in a secular Israeli court? Now that's a little bit different. It's an Israeli court. Are they allowed to sue in a secular Israeli court? So the issue over here is the issue, and I was surprised. I looked if I ever gave a Tamina Lachashir on this topic. Never did, so here it is. The Pasuk in the Torah tells us that Ve'ela Mishpatim Asher Tasim Lifneihem, and the Gemara in Gittin Daf Peches and Bay says, yes, lifnehem, velo lifnei ovdei kochavim. That when you have a din, when you have some discussion, some debate over a monetary issue, it has to go lifnehem, lifnei our own Beis Din, but not lifnei ovdei kochavim, and also not lifnei hedyotos. Rabbeinu Bechai, in highlighting just how severe of an avera this is, starts with a premise. He says, we can all agree, murder is bad, right? Very bad. Terrible, terrible avera. Good, because it not only destroys that person, all future generations that could have emerged from him, we can all agree that gezel and chilul Hashem, in a certain sense, even worse than murder. How do we know that? Because Cain killed Hevel, and he was able to do tshuva, whereas there is no tshuva for gezel unless you actually return that which you stole, and chilul Hashem, there's no tshuva at all. There's no way to do tshuva for chilul Hashem. So going to a secular court, says Rabbeinu Bechai, is both a violation of chilul Hashem and gezel, and therefore worse than murder. Now, it's gezel to the point that Rabbi Kivega writes that if a person takes his winnings from secular court and is mekadish in isha with those winnings, einu mekudeshes, because the Masada Kedushin asks you under the chuppah, does this belong to you? And the answer is no in that case, because it doesn't belong to him. It is considered gezel. Now, why is this such a terrible avera? What's so bad about going to a secular court? We live in a just society. What's so wrong about going to a court that's going to judge in a fair way? So Rashi Shmos Perchav Aleph writes that you are being mechalel es Hashem, and you're honoring the shame of Avodah Zarah, because you're going to Ovdei Avodah Zarah, so you're giving undue chashivus to Avodah Zarah. The Rambam in the 26th parak of Hilchos Sanhedrin Halacha Zayin says a little differently. He says, Kal adon b'dayon yakum b'barako shalahen, you go to a non-Jewish court, afal pisha yudineim kidina Yisrael, even if they judge based on Jewish law, hare ze rasha, that person is a rasha, ukiluchire figide ferim yad b'toras Moshe Rabbeinu, he is actively rejecting Torah Moshe Rabbeinu. Shnei Ravelim Ashpatim Ashatasim Lefneim Lefneim V'lo Lefnei Akum Lefneim V'lo Lefnei Hedyotos. Meaning, not that you're being Meirim Yad Shel Avodah Zarah, but you are insulting Torah Moshe. That you don't believe Torah Toras Moshe can provide the guidance that you need in this monetary conundrum that you face. It's not about honoring Avodah Zarah, like Rashi says. Rather, the Rambam says about the rejection of Torah. The Shulchan Aruch and Chash Mishpatim Chavav quotes the exact lashon of the Rambam as he typically does, and this issur applies. And Shulchan Aruch says even if the judges are not actually Ovdei Avodah Zarah, which seems to fit the Rambam much better than it does Rashi, because according to Rashi, it's all about being Meirim, elevating the Avodah Zarah. Now, even if it's not about Ovdei Avodah Zarah, you're just leaving aside the Jewish court, the issur is still going to apply. It's interesting that the Monei HaMitzvos don't count this issur as one of the Los Aseis in the Torah, or even as an issur Asei in the Torah. Rav Yerucham Fushel Perlau in his Sefer HaMitzvos, commentary to the Sefer HaMitzvos of Rav Saadia Gaon, suggests that maybe it's only Drabanan, or maybe it's a subset of the issur of Avodah Zarah. That L'chora works much better if you say like Rashi. That would be a subcategory of Avodah Zarah. According to the Rambam, you'd have to say something else. What about Israeli courts? Are Israeli courts different? Because after all, the judges in Israeli court are Jewish people. So the Chaznish and Chashamishpat, Sanhedrin, Simon Tezvav, Oz Dalit writes that even Jews who are judging based on non-Torah laws are included in the Yisr, and he writes, Ve'ei nafkusa, bein balafnei einam Yisraelim, ubein Yisrael sheshofet al pichukim beduyim. It doesn't matter whether it's non-Jews or Jews using non-Jewish law. Va'ora davar yoser meguna, she'miru es mishpatei ha-Torah al mishpatei ha-Hevel. And it's even worse when you go to an Israeli court, because these are Jews who should know better, and they're abandoning the mishpatei ha-Torah in favor of mishpatei ha-Hevel. It seems to me this is the consensus of the poskim, Rav Avadi Yosef, Inichav Das, the Tzitz Eliezer, Rav Herzog, many, many poskim across the spectrum of Judaism assume that the same issur applies to the Israeli courts as well. There is an argument that some tried to make. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Chav Gimel, talks about Ze posel dayano shel ze, veze posel dayano shel ze. Each guy could posel the other guy's dayan. So the Gemara says, Kol kamine? What do you mean? I could just go and posel your dayan? So the Gemara says, no, we're talking about our Arkosha Besuria. And the Miriam over there explains what are our Kosha Basuria? They're Dunin La'omer Hadas Ubechukim Venimusim. They're people who judge, but not based on Dine Torah, based on Omer Hadas and based on Chukim Venimusim, whatever the contemporary laws are. They're using some system of law. So some wanted to suggest, so you see that is a valid court. Okay, you could posel Dayan Oshalzeh, but if you accept it, you can go to such a court. So Rabbi Bleich pointed out in contemporary halachic problems that the Meiri was talking where the judge has the option of either Omer Hadas or Chukim V'Nimusim, not where he's only bound to a foreign system of law. And either way, Mehechite say that we paskin like that. Meiri Pashtas is like all the other poskim say, that it applies equally to Israeli courts. So then the question becomes, okay, so when is it ever mutter? When are you ever allowed to go to a secular court? So there are, as far as I know, 9 exceptions to this rule, if not more. There was a beautiful article written by Rabbi Yaakov Feit. It was published in the Journal of the RCA Beis Din, where he goes through all of the different exceptions to this rule. Number one, exception number one, Shulchan Aruch writes in Simon Chavav Sif Beis in Chosh Mishpat, Ha'isa Yad Ovdi Cham Tkifa U'Baldino Alam Ve'Eino Yochel Ha'atzil Mimenu B'dayana Yisrael. Let's say the Ovdi Chavim are in power, and the guy that you're going up against is a powerful person, and you can, the Beis Din is not going to be able to enforce anything against this guy. Then what you should do is subpoena him to a Beis Din first. And if he refuses to listen to the Beis Din, and there's nothing the Beis Din could do to force him to come to the Beis Din, then you get reshus from the Beis Din and you go to a secular court. This is done all the time. That people very often sometimes will have some situation where the Baal Din is not someone who's tzayis l'dina, he's not someone that would listen to Azmana to a Beis Din, doesn't show up to the Beis Din, so then you get permission from the Beis Din, and with that permission you can sue him in secular court. It's a little bit strange that there is such halacha, because if it's really an isser to go to a secular court, so what, because you're going to lose money, so you're allowed to violate the isser? Where else do we have that? Like, how much money do you have to lose till we say, you know what, just have cheeseburgers? Meaning this is cheeseburgers, right? This is, it's an isser. So why exactly is this allowed? So there are different suggestions offered by the poskim. Rav Kook says it's based on shlichus ayuka of dinan, that the non-Jewish court is now doing the shlichus of the Yisrael, based on what the Gemara in Gittin says, that a get that's mu'usa alide Yisrael is mutter, but alide akum is aser. And the Gemara says that if the non-Jewish court says asei mashi Yisrael omrim, then it's mutter. So Tosos explains that because they work as our shluchim. So generally, Nachrim would not be considered in shlichus, but over here maybe that's the assumption. Rav Sturmbach in Shuvas Van Hagos Chel Gimel Simen Tav Mem Aleph suggests that it's a knas on the guy who refuses. That now you're going to be forced to abide by the secular court's ruling, even if it's more than what the Torah would have required. The Sma in Simen Chavav Sivkan Ches says that we're knowing to only give this heter of going to a secular court because the guy won't listen after three hazmanos were ignored. Meaning Beis Din has to send hazmana on three different occasions. It doesn't mean that they click send on an email three times in a row. It means you send, he doesn't show up by the date that you say, send again, it doesn't show up by that date, send again, doesn't show up by that date. Only once three hazmanos go unanswered can we do this. However, the Minchas Yitzchak and Chelek Tes, Simon Kufnan Hay says that the minig is to give the heter before that if you know that he's not going to show up. You don't have to wait for him not to show up if it's obvious that this is a person who's not going to show up. Exception number two, let's say you were the one that was summoned to court. You were sued in a secular court. So there is a tumim in Simon Chavav that says even then you're not allowed to go. You can't even go to defend yourself. But the majority of poskim assume not that way. The Marsham and Chelek Aleph and Peites, Knesset Cheskel and Simon Tzadi Zayin, the Imrebina, they all say that you can go to defend yourself. Exception number three, what if your din is not between you and another Jew, it's between you and a non-Jew? Tashbetz Chelik Beis Simen Reish Tzadi assumes the Isser is even with a non-Jew, but he says, practically speaking, you can assume that he won't come to Beis, and therefore you can get your heter and go to the secular court. But he thinks, in principle, if you have a non-Jew who might be willing to listen, then to a Beis Din, then you should even go to a Beis Din when dealing with a non-Jew. Exception number four, potential exception number four, non-frum Jews. There are three approaches in dealing with non-religious Jews. That since he wouldn't come to a Beis Din, you can just go directly to a secular court, don't pass go, and it's fine because he's not going to listen to a Beis Din. Minchas Yitzchak and Chel Tesim Kufnan Hey Oz Beis. Beis Din should issue one hazmana and then allow you to go to a secular court. And he says that is the standard minhag when it comes to non-religious Jews. The RCA Beis Din has the practice of treating all Jews the same, meaning non-religious Jews the same as religious Jews. And therefore, they issue three hazmanos, whether the other party is a non-religious Jew or a religious Jew. Rav Willick holds that you need permission from a Beis Din, even with a non-religious Jew. And Rav Bleich says that of course you do, because nowadays, he said, there's a lot of ways that people resolve what they call alternative dispute resolution. There are a lot of ways that people resolve their disputes outside of a typical courtroom, and that's, they'll go on Judge Judy or something. That's not a real court, she's not a real judge. Right? They go in front of and what it is, it's an arbitrator. They sign an arbitration agreement, and it's entertaining, and she yells at them a little bit or whatever. I haven't been sick in a while, so I haven't seen it. But I'm just sorry, I don't have a TV. Since there is this alternative dispute resolution as an option, so you never know, people might be open to the idea if they hear that the Beis Din has a reputation. Halavai, if they would hear that Beis Din has a reputation of being fair and honest and not corrupt and good and straight shooting and efficient in the way it runs, halavai, Beis Din should have such a reputation. Every Beis Din should have such a reputation. Unfortunately, it's not always true. Then maybe a person would be open to hearing their case in front of a Beis Din. Exception number five, potential exception number five, insurance companies. This is the shayla we started with. Your dispute is with another Jew, but the insurance company will pay it out. Does that sound like anything in halacha? Any principle in halacha? What? What is it? If the insurance company says, I know the din is with you, but I'll cover it. a cosigner, an arev, right? That's very much like an arev, right? The cosigner is the one that's going to take care of it. A car accident, medical malpractice, that's why doctors buy insurance. That's why people who drive automobiles have insurance, liability insurance. We get this dafka for this reason. So this is a machlokas haposkim. In the Sefer Shari Tzedek Zion, he says that since the primary litigants are Jewish, you still have to go to a Beis Din. However, the more accepted psak is the psak of Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein in the journal Yeshurun Chelek Yud Aleph, and Rav Bleich in Contemporary Halachic Problems, is that since it is obvious who's going to be the one that's really paying, and it's the insurance company, and we assume the insurance company is largely a non-Jewish entity, you can sue in secular court even with an insurance company. It's always best. I always tell people, even if you think you have one of these heterim, make a phone call to the Beis Din first, just to have yourself covered. You don't want someone to say that, look at that, what a chilul Hashem, that the Jew is going to a secular court. You always want to have in writing from the Beis Din that you are permitted to do this. Another possible exception is a case of imminent loss, where you need some sort of restraining order or preliminary injunction in order to prevent further loss, just to sort of put it in a hold, in a freeze, so that you can then adjudicate the case. So you can go to a secular court to do that, to issue that, so that you could then go ahead and go to a Beis Din afterwards. Another potential exception, when the secular court is just being used for collection but not for adjudication, then it's mutter to go. The two examples of that, when would you use a secular court for collection but not adjudication? Let's say the defendant already agreed to pay the full amount, and he doesn't have any counterclaim. He's not trying to taina anything. It's an overdue bill. And he's not saying that he doesn't owe the money, he just doesn't want to pay it or hasn't paid it yet. So you're trying to collect tuition that's overdue or mortgage payments that are overdue. So that you can go to the secular authorities to collect. Or if you already got a judgment from a Beis Din, but you need the decision to be enforced. So that's what we do. How's Beis Din supposed to enforce any decision? You go to any Beis Din, right? You go to the RCA Beis Din, the Mashal. So they say, okay, Reuven, you owe Shimon $10,000. Reuven says, okay, have a nice day, right? What's Beis Din going to do? Cuff him? Like, what are you going to do? You're going to throw him in jail? Where? In, like, the rabbi's study? Like, what are you going to do to him? So what they do is they have a binding arbitration agreement. That's a legal document that says that we're trusting this Beis Din as the arbitrators, and then that could be enforced in secular court. I mean, their decision is now enforceable. For that, to get that enforced, you're allowed to go to a secular court. Another situation that you're probably allowed to go to Arkos is criminal law. Now, there's a separate issue. It's not an issue of Arkos when you're dealing with criminal law. You have a Rachman al-Itzlan. You have a person who's messing around with young children or something like that. You know, a pedophile or something of that nature. So that's, you know, or someone who's violating other criminal activities. So that's an issue of Mesira, right? Mesira is a separate topic. Obviously, if the person poses an imminent threat to people, so then we would ignore the Isser of Mesira because it would not be an Isser in that case. But it's a different sugya, is what I'm trying to say. It's not a violation of our ka'os. And the final potential exception is when you're dealing with zoning laws or bankruptcy law, you know, things that Beis Din doesn't really have a say in. It's just sort of like an agreement amongst people that live in that town that you abide by the zoning laws of that town. Now, let's say a person has gone to secular court. Are there any ramifications in violation of the halacha? So the Mishnah Berurah and Siman Nun Gimel, Sifkat and Pei Beis writes, HaHolich Barakos Shalav Gelulim Pasul Lios Shliach Tzibur B'Rashon of Yom HaKippurim. If this is a person who goes to secular court, he may not be a Shliach Tzibur on Yom Narayim, Ele Im Kein Asa Tshuva, unless he's done Tshuva. V'Nirali D'Mari Shalom Nishal Yidezeh Mamun Chaveiro B'Yado. What does it mean you did Tshuva? You returned all the money. If you won a judgment in the secular court, Tshuva cannot be done unless you return all the money. Remember we said before, it's like gezel. You can't do tshuva for gezel and then just enjoy all the money. You have to return it. Or let's say, for example, the din of the secular court is exactly the same din as the din of Yisrael, so then it's not gezel. Even if whatever you won was rightfully yours and Beis Din would have given you the same thing, it's an aveira, and therefore a person is not allowed allowed to serve as a shliach tzibur on Rosh Hashanah Yom HaKippurim. If you didn't return the money, or the money was gained unlawfully, then you couldn't be a shliach tzibur ever. He says, then the Mishmura adds, you know, maybe nowadays, that to our great dismay, a lot of people seem to have forgotten that there exists such an iser. And it could be that you have a person who is mamish a shogeg. He doesn't even know that it's a problem. Maybe we shouldn't passel him anymore, because we're only machmir on people to passel them when they know that they're doing an avera. But if you can assume that the person had no idea that he was doing an avera, maybe we can be more makel. But then the Mishmura says, but not on Yom Narayim, don't be makel. Maybe you can be more makel, allow him to daven shachris on a Tuesday, but don't allow him to be a shliach tzibur on Yom Narayim. The Ramah in Simcha Vav Sif Aleph writes that you can no longer go to a Beis Din if your attempt in secular court failed. I mean, you can't say, oh, that didn't work, okay, now I'll go to a Beis Din. No, there are two opinions why you can't. Either because we assume that it's like Shavi Anafshe, you've been mekabel whatever happens in secular, or Hodas Baldin Kameh Edim, sort of, that you've been mekabel whatever the psak of the secular court was, or it's a knas, that you have to suffer whatever judgment is against you in secular court. Nafkamina might be, what if it's a corrupt secular court? So you're never mekabel a judge who was bribed, but a knas you still deserve for going to a secular court. Arbitration might be an exception. When it's not a real court, you're just trying to settle things outside of court. So the Sman, Siman Samaches of Kanyu Gimel writes, Avagav de Pshara Tzricha Kinyin V'Kanam Yadam L'Kaima Pshara V'Kalmakam Kivinda Pshara Nasal Yadam Pshara Kriya Din V'Em Psul Ladun Din Ulefiza Afilu Belo Shtar Pshara Shnasal Yadam Psula. But L'Chor, according to the Ram, it should be mutter, because you're not using a legal system at all, according to, right? So, okay, so there's what to debate, at least about going to arbitration. But people should be aware that this is an isser. You're young now, you don't think you're ever going to get into a monetary dispute with anybody, but it's likely to happen at some point in your life, even if you're the most erlich and honest and decent person in the way that you act. There, not everyone is, and it's likely that you'll get into some sort of dispute, and sometimes too decent, good, honest people get into a dispute or into a car accident, like in the case that I mentioned before. Two very good, decent people. And it's important to realize that this is a real halacha. It's something that has serious ramifications and something that has to be dealt with accordingly.